8 o'clock, it's Wednesday, which means it's time for you to lose your mind. Okay, well, let's not totally lose your mind. It's Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Got something you want to complain about? My complaint last hour was about calling a business and the phone just rings and rings and rings. What? You don't have a old school Radio Shack answering machine? An automated voicemail system?
But you don't take it as a positive that they're such a good service? They're so in demand? There's no one there to answer the phone?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I do not view it that way. Is that how Van Gilder Industries would be ran if you were in charge, like Vandalay Industries on Seinfeld? Is that you wouldn't have an answering machine or any way to communicate with anybody because you do such a great job at whatever it is that you would do at Van Gilder Industries?
No website, one phone number, pay in advance, don't do the job. So I'd get a couple $100 out of it, and then I'm out. That's Van Gilder Industries right there. That's why we have not yet set up an LLC for that.
Probably a good idea.
Because I'm trying to figure out how to get paid for not working this job. I don't want to have to do that for a second job.
I just think it's idiotic. Why wouldn't you want to have at least a way for people to leave you a message to inquire about your services? Why wouldn't you do that? I don't get that. Because everybody likes to sit there and hear the phone ring, ring, ring. Ugh. That's my major gripe today. My big gripe. So text or call. I've got more, I'm sure, but that's the one that immediately
jumps to mind.
This is not a gripe. This is a happy moment.
Mm-hmm.
Tate Martell's finally retiring from college football. I am so tired of Tate Martell. Thank goodness the guy finally decided.
Right.
It's over.
Who played for more teams, Tate Martell or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, it's got to be Fitzmagic, but...
But close.
But it's close. You see Fitzmagic at the Bills game?
Yes, I did.
Shirtless in all of his glory.
Yeah.
The Bills game. Can you tell me how many pass attempts
Tate Martell has?
Attempts.
In his Ohio State, Miami, and UNLV.
Career attempts. I'm just going with the number that jumps out. Can I just give a number?
Yeah, just jump out.
50.
No.
Lower.
That's lower.
25.
28.
Jeez.
Or sorry, 35. So 28 at Ohio State. And then 7 elsewhere. So
for QB1.
Yep. For reference, Ben Roethlisberger had 48 attempts Sunday. Patrick Mahomes had 39.
They had more in one game than he had in his entire collegiate career.
Tate Martell, QB1, entire collegiate career, 26 of 35. Not bad. 74%. That's good. 303 and a touchdown. Patrick Mahomes, in one day, 30 of 39, 404, 5 touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just saw that he had announced his retirement.
From what? The bench? Did he use a Surface tablet for that?
Not his trapper keeper?
Not his trapper keeper. Did he write it down on his, yellow sticky note?
Oh.
And put it on whoever coaches UNLV's door?
Yeah.
I'm retired from football.
They're like, you're still at the program? Really? I didn't even know you were still here.
You're retiring from...
What?
Just saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a guy that worked here once upon a time.
Right.
I'm retiring from Blake department.
I'm retiring from this department.
Didn't know you were even doing anything in that department, to be quite honest. But
you're not scheduled in this department.
Wait a minute. How can you retire from something that you... had limited involvement to begin with. How do you say that? Oh, boy. Okay, moving on. Cody Rourke, by the way, Locked on Broncos podcast. Gracious enough to come on. He knows now,
yes.
Okay,
good.
He has confirmed. He'll join us at 8:20 to talk about the Broncos and their coaching search, which, by the way, involved the Big D yesterday.
Sorry,
what? And I mean Dallas, not like the Mark Chestnut song. What?
Nothing.
What? What?
I was doing some quick math over here. Tate Martell has thrown 7 pass attempts mid-pandemic. 28 of his 35 were 2018 for Ohio State.
Okay. Is there something else you wanted to add there?
Nope.
Oh, come on. See, now you're going to make me... What did I say? I said Big D. They were in the Big D.
It was just the way you said it and my childish mind just working in conjunction.
So, like I said, it not different than the Mark Chestnut song,
yes.
Which was... Big D, don't mean Dallas. We do mean Dallas in this case.
Mark Chestnut actually coming to town in a couple months. I saw on the Ola Facebook yesterday. By the way, if you're into that.
One of my few brushes with Mark Chestnut, greatness? I don't really good. Hall the very good country music guy.
I like his stuff. He's got a better career than others.
Better than Tate Martell.
Yeah.
Way better than Tate Martell.
Better than me.
Well, better than me as well.
I mean, I can't play guitar.
No.
So there's
that. Talented guy.
Yeah, super talented guy. I think he's coming to town this summer.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I haven't heard that. That doesn't mean that it's
so
not true.
Fresh, it's not even on his website.
Okay. Very good. So anyway, we circle back around to why I'm talking about Dallas today. The Broncos interviewing Dan Quinn, the only coach on the list right now that has previous NFL head coaching experience with the Atlanta Falcons. 4+ years, 43-42 record there, 3-2 in the playoffs. The infamous blown 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, losing an OT to the Patriots on his resume. But Quinn, the fifth candidate to be interviewed by George Payton. So they interviewed him, and they also interviewed Kellen Moore. I'm so excited to coach show Mr. Payton my playbook. I'm excited.
Is he also trying to date Meg and Family Guy?
Super excited. It's a little Lou Holtz-y.
Just a little bit. I know this has nothing to do with the segment at all, but February 24th, Mark Chestnut.
Okay, thank you.
That was driving me nuts. I know I saw it.
Where will Mark Chestnut be playing?
Over at our friends at the warehouse.
Okay, very good. All right, sensational. A little plug for Moose Legends.
Yep.
Over there, Tommy Sheldon doing his thing over here to my left.
Loudly.
Beyond the wall.
I said loudly.
Wow.
You can hear him perfectly fine through the
I know.
And
he could probably hear me too.
That's true.
Because I'm not exactly real quiet myself. So, anyway.
Moving on.
Dan Quinn will also be interviewed by Chicago, Miami, and Minnesota this week. So, that's who the Broncos talked to, or one of the guys they talked to yesterday. Dallas this year, by the way, with Dan Quinn at the helm of their defense, they won the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
They went from 28th to 7 in points allowed, 23rd to 19th in yards allowed. They led the league with 34 takeovers. And Micah Parsons, you know, all the questions about Micah Parsons, well, I think they got answered. Dan Quinn found a really good way to utilize the talents of Micah Parsons, a former Penn State linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Cowboys lost to San Francisco. That, of course, opened the door for the Broncos to have that interview with Dan Quinn. Yesterday, they also talked with Kellen Moore. Boy wonder, boy genius, former Boise State quarterback that they sat down and interviewed Moore yesterday, the Cowboys offensive coordinator, which, considering how things went this past weekend for the Cowboys offense, might have taken a little bit of a hit in regard to, well, the building interest in Kellen Moore, though. You look at the numbers for the Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
NFL's top offense in terms of yards, 407, points, 31.7 points per game. So do we focus on one game, like with Dan Quinn? Do we focus on, well, they lost the Super Bowl. Dan Quinn, was that all on Dan Quinn? No, some of it was Kyle Shanahan, the play calling as well. Do you fixate on, well, look what they didn't get done against the Niners in the playoff loss? And the debacle at the end of the game, how much of that's Mike McCarthy? How much of that is Kellen Moore?
Right. And for me, I look at their offense. They eclipsed 500 yards twice, once against the Giants and once against the Patriots, which they needed to go to overtime to win. They won both of those games. But they got to play the Giants twice. They got to play Washington twice. They went north of 400 yards between 400 and 500. I think it was 7 or 8 times. Lost to the Bucs. Beat the Chargers on the road. That's a good win. They beat the Panthers at home. That's not a great win considering they only did it by 8 points. They beat the Vikings on the road by 4. That's a decent win. They blew out the Falcons. They lost to the Raiders while getting 437 yards of offense. 497 against Washington, who's not very good. 475 against the Eagles defense, which is not great. I don't know how soft those numbers are. It's not like they were playing like the Ravens defense or, you know, any great defense. I don't know how soft those offensive numbers are. They look great.
Well, they had 407 against the Broncos, but a lot of that was late when Denver had already jumped out to a big lead, and for the most part, Denver held
them in check. And they got blown out in that game.
Yeah, they got blown out by the Broncos.
You know, so I don't know how many of those numbers are soft when it comes to their offense or really their defense. I mean, their yards per attempt rushing, not great. But teams didn't have to run the ball a ton because they could just throw the ball all over them because they had a very boom or bust secondary. Diggs was great, but he got burned as much as he got picks. They averaged 2 turnovers a game. That's...
Yeah, how much of that defense that led the league with 34 takeovers played a role in what they did offensively?
Because they gave up a 400 yards a game a lot. They gave up 509 to the Raiders, an offense that was not explosive in November. You know, so I don't know how soft these numbers are.
On both sides of the football. But that defense with the takeaways...
The takeaways are huge. Those are legitimate numbers.
Set up the offense with some great field position, I'm sure, on many occasions. But you're right. That defense also gave up some yardage to some, you know...
Some mediocre teams.
Mediocre teams, yes.
They gave up 400 yards to the Broncos offense, which was not a 400-yard offense at times this year.
No.
You know, they lost to Arizona when Arizona was floundering because after November 1st, Cliff Kingsbury does nothing but flounder. And, you know, they lost to the Raiders. They got beat by the Chiefs. They just are not entirely certain how to take this team. That's why I wasn't so surprised that they lost to the Niners. Because Niners are a good team, and the Cowboys were kind of a...
Debo Samuel's a matchup nightmare in terms of how Kyle Shanahan uses him.
The Cowboys are kind of a paper lion this year because they played in a soft division, and they had a lot of soft numbers, I thought.
So for Moore, who's only 33, by the way, he's the youngest of the coaches that the Broncos will interview. He already interviewed with Jacksonville. Apparently will interview with Miami and Minnesota as well. So those are the next teams that will interview Kellen Moore potentially moving forward. Keep it on Cowboys talk here in Broncos country. Dak
Cowboys
Prescott,
and horses, you know, it works.
Sure. Dak Prescott issued an apology for his comments about the officials after the loss to the Niners. Remember that he was asked about the fans throwing trash, debris at the officials after the loss to San Francisco, and basically was, good for them.
Yeah, have at it.
Thanks, guys, for doing that.
Have another $11 beer so you have one more bottle to throw.
And the reaction to his comments in that press conference were from a lot of different sources. One of them, NBA referees, who condemned the comments by Dak Prescott condoning violence against game officials. As an NFL leader, you should know better. We encourage the NFL to take action to discourage this deplorable behavior in the future. And so Dak Prescott, like so many do, when they say something stupid, they go to Twitter to try to make it all better.
They put their name on a PR flacky statement.
Because does this sound like Dak Prescott? I deeply regret the comments I made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday. I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss. My words were uncalled for and unfair. I hold the NFL officials in the highest regard and have always respected their professionalism and difficulty of their jobs. The safety of everyone who attends a game or participates on the field of a sporting event is a very serious matter. That was a mistake on my behalf, and I am sorry.
And for punishment, I'm going to do nothing but eat chunky soup.
All day long.
For a week. No, that's not him. That's a PR flunky. Just here.
Sending that out. Hey, you, okay, Dak, you're at it? Okay. Look good to you?
Hold the text. Copy. Go to Twitter. Paste.
And once again, like we talked about, it wasn't the official's fault.
No.
The umpire had to spot the ball.
It was you and your team's fault.
Prescott should have got down earlier, got the ball to the officials so they could spot it. It was a poor play call to begin with.
Yeah, and so the more I think about it, that's a guy that didn't live up to the moment.
Exactly.
Dak Prescott. From the first three quarters, the 2-minute drive, the post game, it's a dude that just didn't live up to the moment.
They have nobody to blame but themselves for losing that game. And for Dak Prescott to encourage that kind of reaction from fans, throwing crap, could have got somebody hurt. I get it. You're upset. And at that moment, he said it. He had the chance, though, at the end of that press conference, because they kind of circled back to it, where he could have said, you know what? What I just said, I feel really bad. I'm upset that we lost. We didn't get the job done. I apologize to that crew. That should not have happened to them. That should never happen to any officiating crew.
Tweet that out Monday.
What did it take? It took till yesterday for somebody to go, for the heat to keep building. Yeah. Well, okay, Cowboys, okay, Dak, you probably need to issue some kind of apology.
To some PR intern. Be like, let me write this up real quick. He didn't write that.
No, he did not. You didn't expect better from a guy like that. The NBA officials tweet, that group, that union, they were right.
They're absolutely right.
He's one of the faces of the NFL. Mm-hmm. You can't encourage that kind of behavior against officials.
No, because you know which officiating group is the closest sometimes in the fans? NBA officials.
Exactly.
Everyone else has walls and glass and security to
get
around.
They're right there.
The NBA officials are sometimes, you know, closer to the crowd than they are the action.
This last weekend, were there things to criticize the officials? The call in the Bengals game, the whistle?
Yep.
Yeah. And then having Walt Anderson come out and not Jerome Bogard to come out and talk about it? Come on. But that doesn't mean that it's okay to encourage people, fans, throwing stuff at officials.
Right.
That's not in the job description. Ducking from somebody chucking a half full beer.
Right.
They could hit you in the temple and kill you.
How about you lose like a grown-up?
Realize it's your team screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
They blew it. Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott, they blew it. Not the officials.
Right. If you're wearing a star, it's your fault. You're wearing stripes, it's not.
At least not
in Dallas.
No, not in that game. Dane Brugler over on The Athletic, he's released his latest mock draft. It's his 2.0 mock draft, by the way. See if you can even guess who he has the Broncos taking at number 9. If you have you seen The Athletic? Have
no,
you seen
I
his? Okay. Just take a guess.
Offense or defense?
Well, I'll give you this much. Defense out of the Pac-12.
I got nothing. I have no idea.
Devin Lloyd, linebacker, Utah.
I think we have some Devin Lloyd sound in the system here.
I have no idea who that is.
Former safety. Very athletic guy. Guy that has great cover skills.
It's exactly what the Broncos need. More defensive players. Does Dane Brugler watch football? Does he watch NFL football?
I don't know.
Does he just watch college? Like, yeah, this guy would be great.
But that's who Dane Brugler has. He has Devin Lloyd.
Quarterback? Nah.
Kenny Pickett will be your first quarterback taken, according to Brugler. And he will go to the Washington football team.
That's interesting.
Matt Corral to the Saints. Sam Howell to the Steelers.
Hutchinson number 1 overall, I'm guessing?
No.
Oh, really? The other one?
The NC State offensive tackle.
Oh.
Akeem or Ikuonu, I believe.
Sure.
I think I'm probably massively butchering that.
Yeah, we'll go with that, though.
Offensive tackle, North Carolina State. Aiden Hutchinson, the edge rusher from Michigan, to the Lions going in-state.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, kid.
Aiden Hutchinson's like, No.
Get a good recipe for kneecaps.
That's right.
My boy, yummy, Dan Campbell.
Yummy, yummy kneecaps.
I don't know what good that does the Broncos.
I don't. Oh, okay. I know they're losing some linebackers in terms of guys with expiring contracts and things like that, but
Pickett to Washington's really interesting, though.
That is interesting.
Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel.
Got some toys to play with there.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Matt Corral to the Saints. That's interesting.
The draft yet?
I know it's we're not even.
It's too a little too early.
We're not even the division round yet. It's like I can't even wrap my mind around.
Yeah.
So, do you ever pick a team that you root for in the playoffs when your team doesn't get in?
Yes.
Who would that be right now for you?
Right now for me, as much as I hate the Bengals, it's the Bengals.
I'm soft. I mean, I have a soft spot for the Bengals, long struggling franchise. Yep. I kind of like
big Reds fan from the 70s. You are
exactly maybe. So. There's still that connection, even though I've never been to the city, never been to the state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of leaning Buffalo Bills though, for our colleague Buffalo Mark.
Yeah,
as I like Josh Allen.
Buffalo needs a winner somewhere.
I read a piece where the largest TV audience for Buffalo Bills football outside of New York?
Yeah, it's probably Wyoming.
It is Wyoming. Yeah. They have huge Buffalo Bills viewership numbers. Yeah,
they're big in Laramie.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of leaning that way. Green I'm kind of leaning toward the Buffalo Bills.
Both people in Green River watch the Bills. Sorry, just kidding.
And talk about guys being pissy. Mm-hmm. Sean McDermott always looks like there's something wrong.
Yeah.
I've never seen that guy look happy. For a single moment, I've never seen a crack of smoke.
Buffalo. It's cold.
Well, I know. See how much snow they got there?
Yeah, it's
this week. It's
windy.
It's insane.
It's cold. It's cloudy. Yeah. Lake effect snow. It's 35
I guess
degrees.
That would make me kind of that way, too.
It's 35 degrees and sunny at 8 a.m. You have a foot of snow at noon. It's just not fun.
He just always looks angry.
Yeah. If you went out to your driveway and shoveled off 2 feet of snow, and by the time you get back inside, there's another 5 inches.
Well, don't you think
too?
He has a guy that comes and does that? He's an NFL head coach. Why would you do that yourself?
If I was shoveling snow in Buffalo, which I would never do because one, I'm lazy, and two, it's cold, I would charge by the hour. Because you know, once you get one of those long NFL coach player driveways done, it's got more snow on it because it just doesn't stop. It's a snow globe for 5 months.
All I know is my neighbor, when we had all that snow here recently, the heavy snow, the only guy in our neighborhood that has a snowblower. I was so freaking jealous.
Yeah, they got those down.
And I'm sure I probably could have borrowed it from him because he's such a good guy. But I'm like, no, I'm going to shovel this. I cannot bring myself to, because I hate asking to borrow people's equipment. I just don't like doing that. That's their stuff.
I'm not a big borrower guy. One, because if I like it, then I have to give it back.
Yeah, or I'm gonna
buy my own.
I'm gonna have to go buy it now.
Yeah,
and I'm just thinking, how often will I use a snowblower? Because I already have
get a ton of snow.
I already have enough crap in my garage, and
gotta
have enough room for the motorcycles,
taking up a lot of room,
and Kendra's car. I mean, there's just not enough room for a snowblower.
Just get a leaf blower. Maybe you could, dual purpose.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't work like that. Doesn't work as well. Sorry, it just doesn't. It's a nice idea, but it doesn't work. Snowblower is built for that kind of that job. And I just don't know how. When it snows a lot, it'd be great to have it.
Just put a blade on the front of your truck. There you go. Mission accomplished.
Well, once again, how often am I going to use that, though? That's a lot of expense for something I'm going to use maybe once or twice.
Just borrow the neighbor's snowblower.
I know, but I don't want to do that because that's his snowblower. It's not mine.
That's why you borrow it. If you just walk over and take it, that's bad.
My luck, something would happen to it, and I'd be on the hook for that. That would be my luck. I would do something wrong, I'd blow it up, and I'd be on the hook to fix it.
Hey, I broke your snowblower. It's on fire. What'd you do?
Gas goes in the tank.
I just poured it on top and lit a match. That melted the snow. It worked perfect.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, 825, Cody Rourke from Locked On Broncos podcast joins us next on the Jim Davis Show. Don't forget, say whine about a Wednesday.
Well, why don't you cry about it?
Text or call in today. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the team. Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke.
Here we go!
On the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, he's the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. You can find it where you get your favorite podcasts. Cody Rourke joins us. Cody, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, doing well. First off, I have to give you big kudos on being the guy on this program that said, keep your eye on the Cincinnati Bengals. a well-crafted statement you made back in the day about why you thought this Bengals team could be a playoff team and could be a team to watch in the 2021-2022 season. And Nostradamus, well done, sir, because the Bengals making a big statement, even though they got some help from the officials in the Raiders game. Joe Burrow, the Bengals in that 31-year playoff-winning drought that the Bengals fans have had to endure.
Oh, yeah. When you just imagine the pressure that's off the backs of that organization right now. Zach Taylor, I mean, Zach Taylor last year, there were questions about whether or not he'd be back. And so, obviously, Joe Burrow coming back in 2021 helps out a lot. And, you know, for Zach Taylor, the really cool thing about what he did was going around to local bars and handing out game balls to fans and talking about, hey, this is the first of many to come. You know, you love stuff like that. Stuff like that inspires a lot of confidence. And look, I'm not changing. I still think that even though they take on the one seed Tennessee Titans who had a bye, I think that the Bengals are better suited in this matchup, and I've got them as my pick.
Cody Rourke joining us today. Broncos coaching search took them to Dallas yesterday to talk to Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, and offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. Just your thoughts about those two, with Dan Quinn being the only guy in this current field of candidates, Cody, that has previous NFL head coaching experience.
Yeah, you know, obviously this is the topic that I think a lot of Broncos fans are looking at. Kellen Moore, you know, there's a lot of fans that tweet at me that say, oh, you know, we want Kellen Moore. He's a young up-and-coming coach. He's done so well with the Cowboys offense. But the consensus amongst league circles is that Kellen Moore is simply not ready to be a head coach. And I think that Broncos fans really need to take heed of this. There's a difference between wanting to have a better offense and also, you know, wanting a great head coach. Now, for Kellen Moore, he's only had 3 years of NFL coaching experience, and he's worked his way up. Obviously, he's got formal experience as a player in the NFL. However, is he, as a young guy, ready to lead an entire locker room of people who are around the same age as him? I think that's always something to keep an eye on, but there are many people that don't believe that Kellen Moore is ready to be a head coach. And I was listening to Broncos Country tonight with a good friend, Benjamin Albright, and they had a Dallas beat reporter on saying that they don't, you know, many believe that Kellen Moore is not the voice in the room that is going to inspire a locker room. Now, he's got some principles and offensive philosophies, you know, that are ideal, but they say that he doesn't drop his own schemes either. So there's a lot of stuff coming out, I think, right now. And the belief is that Kellen Moore won't be hired by an NFL team to be their head coach in this current coaching cycle, and maybe next year or the year afterwards. They still believe he has to grow a lot. Dan Quinn, on the other hand, this is where everyone believes is the favorite for the Denver Broncos job. And the fan base, I think, is split. They're like, oh, another defensive-minded coach. I hope fans get out of that line of thinking, because here's the deal with Dan Quinn. As you mentioned, Jim, he has head coaching experience prior. And you know what? The Atlanta Falcons, he coached them to a Super Bowl. And a lot of people blame the 28-3 breakdown on him. But the reality is the defense was doing his job for the most part in that game. And then you start to see Kyle Shanahan get a little too cute in that second half and throw the ball rather than running it. And unfortunately, that kind of led back. Now, for Dan Quinn, he had, you know, there's areas where he had to absolutely improve. But that's the hope when you're a head coach and you get fired. You hope that the next time you're up for a job, you can apply what you learned in your next go-round. And, you know, the belief here for Dan Quinn, if he is the Broncos' next head coach, is that he's going to bring in his own staff, offensive coordinator, and a defensive coordinator, and he's going to oversee the day-to-day, rather than being a head coach that is heavily involved in calling plays like we saw with Vic Fangio. So I think that experience has burned the Broncos on the perception of a guy like Dan Quinn. I think he's the most qualified candidate of everybody.
Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So you'd have Dan Quinn number one. Of the guys that they plan on interviewing, I'm not going to throw in guys that they may still talk to, but we certainly haven't heard the Brian Flores or the Doug Petersons or those that are on the list. Of the guys that they have talked to and will talk to, who would be number two behind Dan Quinn for you?
For me personally, it would be Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. There is a belief amongst league circles that he is ready to be a head coach here in the NFL. And he's been coined as a real-life Ted Lasso. For those who are watching that know who Ted Lasso is, have seen the show, just imagine that with Nathaniel Hackett. They say that he's a real-life Ted Lasso, very enthusiastic, a lot of football knowledge, things like that. And so far, from what I've been told and what I know, is that he is probably the other candidate that is strongly considered. It's belief that 1A is Dan Quinn and 1B is Nathaniel Hackett. Between those two guys is the prime favorites right now for the Broncos head coaching job. You know, outside of that, they have interviews set today with Jerod Mayo, inside linebacker coach for the New England Patriots in Boston. They're going to fly to Philadelphia, and they are going to interview defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jonathan Gannon. I don't believe that these interviews will really give them much consideration. I think it's more of an intel thing. I think Gannon, probably not ready to be a head coach just yet. Jerod Mayo, a positional coach that has playing experience, no coordinator experience. If anything, they might interview him to see if he'd be a D.C. candidate, but outside of that, no strong consideration for the head coaching job here for those two guys.
What about Thursday? Kevin O'Connell, OC for the Rams. Brian Callahan.
Yes.
Bill Callahan's son obviously has ties to the Broncos organization, was an assistant coach there in the past, has done a great job with that Cincinnati offense. Today, like you said, may not be all that serious. Tomorrow, definitely more serious in terms of those two candidates.
Yeah, and that was my belief, too, and what I said on the podcast was I believe that these two candidates with Kevin O'Connell and with Brian Callen, these are probably the hidden gem interviews that the Broncos will be conducting, right? Because, you know, if the Broncos go with the guy with the leadership stature or experience of Dan Quinn, it's one thing. But if the Broncos are going to go with a young head coaching option, it would be one of these two here, Jim, that I really strongly believe it would be either between Callahan and O'Connell here. And obviously their experience, obviously in the Shanahan, the McVay system, it's really the whole quarterback collective here and how they utilize offenses. That might be one thing. We also might see a guy like Mike McDaniel come over from the 49ers to be the Broncos OC if one of those guys gets hired as the head coach. But, no, I think Thursday's interviews are probably the more under-the-radar, hidden gem-type interviews that Broncos fans should really be looking at. And then Friday, they have Eric Bieniemy, which in my opinion, you know, from what I've been told, he doesn't interview well. And I think the belief for him, and obviously even Kansas City beat reporters have shared this with me, is that he's not the one that calls plays here for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's Andy Reid. So for me, I think when you look at those options there, I think this is more of an intel interview for the Broncos on Friday with Bieniemy. I don't believe there's strong consideration for him being the head coach.
And I think some of the leadership questions about Eric go back to when he was with John Embry at Colorado. And how things yep. went there. And I think there's a lot of concern. You like to think that the guys get more experience, Cody. They become better leaders. They learn and they do better. But I think that's always going to be something that kind of is an issue with Eric Bieniemy about how things went when he was in Boulder.
Yeah, no, that's spot on, too. You know, and even when he was the OC, the offense was not very good at CU that year.
No.
And I think that the other concerns obviously has to do with, you know, his ability off script. And, you know, I think the biggest thing, Jim, and you probably know this as well, if you can't interview well when you do have an interview, and look, Bieniemy had several interviews last year, did not become a head coach. He only has one interview so far this season, and it is with Denver. So I think it's out there that he really does not interview well, and I don't think that many teams are going to waste their time there, especially with the knowledge that they believe that Andy Reid is the primary play caller in Kansas City.
Locked On Broncos host Cody York with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Let's look to the divisional weekend. I get the sense maybe you're feeling Cincinnati, but the big upset over Tennessee in that matchup, that's the one you're kind of looking at this weekend in terms of an upset?
Yeah, if anything, that's the one I have circled. You know, and the storylines for this are intriguing because you have Derrick Henry, who's more than likely going to be activated this week. He'll be back. So, you know, what is he going to look like? This is his first game action since he had that foot injury that required surgery. How does he do on first contact? Is he rusty? You know, they have Deontay Foreman behind him as well. It'll be a nice 1-2 punch. And they also have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones healthy. So that is something I think that plays well into Tennessee's factor. However, Jim, I'm a big believer. I hate bye weeks if I'm the team. And it goes back to when the Broncos had the one seed, they had the first round bye, then they hosted the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round back in 2012. When you have a bye week, you know, you can rest some guys up, but you tend to come out flat at times. And I think that history has shown us that teams with the first round bye, they come out not having played a game in a week and a half versus a team that's already been playing, they're hot and they're ready to go. And I think that's where we really see kind of the disparity in the NFL. I think that Tennessee, you know, they got to the first seed, obviously, you know, with a string of wins and big wins and obviously things that they're able to accomplish. But I feel like they're frauds as the one seed. And I think the Cincinnati Bengals, like I mentioned, I think the most dangerous team right now in the NFL playoffs. I think they continue on, and I think they go and get a big road win.
And I think, look, the offense is a big part of that with Burrow and Chase and Mixon and Higgins and company. But I just think their defense does a nice job. I think it's a very underrated aspect of Zach Taylor's football team.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's going to be a big test this week, too, because Trey Hendrickson's currently going through concussion protocol. He was limited in practice yesterday. They did place Larry Ogunjobi, defensive lineman, on injured reserve as he got carted off last week against the Raiders. You have to hope that your backup guys can kind of produce there. But, you know, at linebacker, you know, obviously watching a guy like Logan Wilson, obviously a Wyoming guy, fun to watch. He's been a good player since coming back from his injury. And obviously their secondary is very talented. They're going to have to really try to figure out how to, you know, I think they're going to come out and play the run decently, not tight, as we've seen, you know, most teams play Tennessee with Derrick Henry. I think they're really going to try to stop Ryan Tannehill from passing the football in this game. And I think Trey Hendrickson, his status is going to be probably the biggest question mark that they have in terms of the defensive optics for them this weekend.
That'd be a big loss if he can't play. It'd be a huge loss for that defense. One final question. Will either Manning's group or Elway's group end up owning the Broncos?
Well, you know, if anything, I honestly believe that there might even be another group that comes together. I think that Peyton Manning, John Elway would probably find a way to be on both. But obviously right now the talk is that Manning would be presented with one group, Elway would be presented with the other. I think that when it comes to it, the Manning family has deeper pockets right now than John Elway. So I imagine that Peyton Manning and them, they're probably trying to go all in. And this has been something that even when Peyton was playing, he and his family have been strategizing for. Now, obviously, they can't just buy a team and have controlling interest, obviously, in an organization. That's simply not enough money there, especially with the Broncos potentially being valued to be sold at about $4.1 billion. I do think that Peyton Manning, you know, and that's the thing, too. I want to see an ownership group rather than a singular owner, unless the singular owner is Brittany Bowen. You know, I think that's, you know, a possibility. But at this point in time, I just don't see it going any other way outside of an ownership group, which, in the interest there for any fan listening, when you have an ownership group, decisions don't get made by a single person. It's a collaborative conference boardroom type effort on major decisions. So I do like that, and bringing in a guy like Peyton Manning I think would be huge. And even for John Elway with his experience, but even John Elway said, I don't want to be the face of the franchise. I just want to be a sounding board and a support and an ownership role. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think we're going to find things out probably here in the next couple of weeks, probably 2 weeks, I'd give the estimation, Jim, on the process that's going to play out.
All right. It's a must watch or listen. Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke with us. Make sure you get Locked On Broncos where you get your favorite podcast. Cody, always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate you, Jim. Go Tigers.
All right. Cody Rourke. Well, go Tigers at the end.
G-E-A-U-X. Go Tigers for Joe Burrow, right?
Right. All right. 8:41. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. He also coached at Grand Junction High, too, so we should maybe that was part of it, too, for Cody. All right, we'll go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
We'll try to wrap up the next segment after Connor McGahee with some four-down territory because we're running a little short on time here. I want to make sure we have plenty of time for Connor McGahee, voice of the Avalanche. He'll join us next. It's a Wine About Wednesday with Talon Wine. Get your complaints in today, 970-242-1340.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado sports leader, The Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on The Team.
.845, the Avalanche on their West Coast road swing. Anaheim tonight, the LA Kings tomorrow night. And he'll have the call on both with us right now, the radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Connor, how are you doing? Up bright and early. Thank you. I know it's, 7:40 on the West Coast right now, but you're up bright and early just for us, and I appreciate that, man.
Just for you. I've been up for like an hour and a half. So
okay. All right. So I'd like to think it's because you think we're special, and hopefully in the special
which
we do.
You are. Okay, which well, you are. You
well,
are
thank
special.
You. Well, thank yes. you. Gosh, Connor, you're making me blush right now. I'm just
okay. It's a good day today.
It is a good day today. It's a great day if you're an Avalanche fan. This team, to quote the great Dan Patrick, simply in fuego. They have just been absolutely. a beast the last several games. The home winning streak continued with that win on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The shootout win against the Minnesota Wild. Huge win against a division foe. And they've just been unstoppable as of late.
Yeah, and they made it interesting, too, haven't they? I mean, it's not like they've been winning. Part of me misses the 7-2 blowouts, but they made it exciting in the process. And Nathan MacKinnon said after the game, he said, we need to play in these games because these are the type of games you're going to get when they really matter down the road. And Jared Bednar is saying on our flagship station on his show this morning, he said, I'm going to amend that a little bit and say we need to play in and win these games, these close games. And they have been doing that, which is sort of a new theme over the past 10 games and something that maybe didn't really creep into the psyche in previous years, and it is now, because you have to have all the tools in the toolbox, as we've talked about before, to win a Stanley Cup, and that's one of them. And for Colorado, whether it's being down early and coming back or making up for a mistake inside of a critical time in the third period, 6-on-5, like what happened with Kirill Kaprizov on Monday, no matter what it is, if you are able to dig down and find a way to have a different hero each night, or even if it's the same heroes, no matter who it is, if you find a way to do that, that builds your confidence in all sorts of situations that you know you're going to see come playoff time.
Connor McGahee with us today from L.A. on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And when I mean unstoppable, I mean they fall behind by a goal or two. Doesn't seem to faze them that they have the best record in a 30-game stretch, 23-4-3, 49 points, best in club history, better than last year when they set the mark. The franchise home ice winning streak that they continued on Monday. It just seems like right now everything is clicking for this team. And like you said, having a different star every night. And you get those moments like Pavel Francouz, who has to step in for Darcy Kuemper in the shootout and ends up being a brick wall against the Wild in that shootout. Mikko Rantanen gets the goal for them to win it. But those guys, those moments, and that ability to just come from behind again and again have been truly remarkable what this team's been able to do.
Without a doubt. I mean, the good news at least when it comes to goaltending, is Francouz has been playing well. The Darcy Kuemper is here on the trip. He was on the ice yesterday and passed those tests as far as concussion goes. Jared Bednar saying this morning that his neck is a little sore. But the plan was always to start Francouz tonight in Anaheim and Kuemper tomorrow. So we'll see if Kemper's neck can loosen up and he can go. So that is good news as far as the Avs goaltending goes. But the stretch of late, though, I mean, you've really had the big guns firing. I mean, they've just been playing as good of hockey as we've seen arguably ever. And everyone kept talking about the fact that, like, look, once these guys get together for a certain amount of time, obviously they're going to start to click, and they have. Mika Rantanen gets to 20 goals again. Nathan MacKinnon has 6 goals in 7 games. Gabe Landeskog has points in the last 16 games that he's played in. Now, because of the NHL rules, that doesn't count as an official streak, which I'm not sure I agree with, but you're talking about the big boys. Cale Makar, obviously, he's got career high assist streak going now. Devon Taves leads the NHL in plus minus. I mean, I could go down the list, but the fact is that there are going to be stretches where you have the unsung heroes who are doing things. And I didn't even talk about Nazem Kadri, who's into the All-Star game. But then you're also going to have stretches where you need the big boys to carry the water. And that's been the case really over this last 2-week stretch, at least for Colorado.
Avs radio voice Connor McGahee with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Anaheim tonight, the Kings tomorrow night. Kings right now second in the Pacific behind Vegas. Anaheim's third with 45 points for both of those teams right now in the Pacific Division behind the Golden Knights. And challenging a little stretch out on the West Coast with these two teams.
Yeah, and it's funny because you always get the back-to-back. You just, without fail, it's either LA one night, Anaheim the next. And And I'm sure it happens to everybody, especially if you're outside the division coming in. You're going to have to do the back-to-back because of the proximity. It's just how it works. If you're the New York Rangers, you're going to do Arizona-Vegas or Arizona-Colorado, Vegas-Colorado because of their proximity. That's just how it works. But these two teams, bottom of the Pacific, bottom of the West, the last couple years, and there's been a resurgence. And for the LA Kings, they probably, and I guess you could throw the Anaheim Ducks into this category, they have two of the brightest futures, I would argue, in the National Hockey League, and some of those futures are making themselves shown here in the present. And now Anaheim has not been as good. I mean, they started the season like gangbusters, but since December 16th, I think they only have two wins. So that could be a good sign for Colorado. We'll see if John Gibson, not sure if he's out of protocol or not for Anaheim, but I mean, Trevor Zegras has been everything that he's been advertised. Denver native Troy Terry, he's headed to the All-Star game as well, as his point streak, one of the longest in the National Hockey League this year. So for Anaheim in particular, I think they have surprised a lot of people. Dallas Eakins has started to put his imprint on this team as well. And so a team that everyone really had maybe not even close to playoff position. I mean, these are number two and three in the Pacific, like you mentioned. So these are not easy. It used to be that California was just a death trap for a lot of teams. Past couple of years, that changed. But you may be getting back into a position where that's the case again, where you have to be on your best game to even be in these hockey games tonight and tomorrow, both on national television, TNT tonight, ESPN, the Ocho, I'm just kidding, the big ESPN tomorrow against the LA Kings. So these are marquee games this week for Colorado here in California.
Connor McGahee with us. Want to wrap it up. You mentioned Nazem Kadri into the All-Star game. Joins Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, who is once again a captain for the Central Division in the All-Star game at T-Mobile in Las Vegas coming up next month. Three guys that no doubt, and probably there are other Avalanche players that deserve that kind of consideration as well, but those three going to the All-Star game, and certainly all three extremely well-deserving.
Yeah, and let's not forget head coach Jared Bednar, who will be the first head coach in Avalanche history at an All-Star game. So all I could think of was the... excuse me, it was the line from Ruben in Ocean's 11 when he opens the door and they all pull up in the van from the airport. He says, what, did you guys get a group rate or something?
That's what the Avalanche decided to do, too. Let's get a group rate on this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, you could have gone down the list and said that Mikko Rantanen deserved to go. Did Devon Taves, you could always make the argument, but
sure.
It just goes to show you have superstars on this team for Colorado. I mean, pure superstars. And we are lucky to be able to watch and maybe so not so much listen to these guys play. But it would have been a crying shame if Nazem Kadri didn't make it in. Fortunately, that was something that everybody agreed upon, kind of like the sky is blue type thing, that that Nazem Kadri deserved to be into the All-Star game. And he is. And had a nice chat with him yesterday. That interview will be on Altitude Television later this week. But yeah, in every single case, 1, 2, 3, 4, well-deserved for Colorado to be, I think, the most represented team at the NHL All-Star game.
And I just looking at Buckeye Boy and looked at me when you said superstar. We had to think of Mary Catherine Gallagher. Superstar. Hopefully one of those guys
that
stick
there. That horrible
their...
movie was on TV the other day.
Yeah.
And, but yes, great skit. Fabulous.
I can't imagine the guys stick their hands into their armpits, though, and smell them like she did. I don't think they probably are. Like
guaranteed they don't.
Yeah,
no
guaranteed.
Chance.
That's why they're classy, fantastic hockey players and great human beings. They're not odd human beings like Mary Catherine Gallagher. I always appreciate it, Connor. Of course, the Avs and Anaheim tonight, Kings and Avs tomorrow night. Always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, man.
My pleasure, boys. Thanks.
Superstar. Thanks, Connor.
Superstar.
Connor McGahee. Just the way he said it. It was just like Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Superstar.
Superstar. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Hour 3 on the way. Text or call us 970-